I don't know how many got that, but that's important. Because he says, you know, if he tells you to sing, you need to back up one chapter and see what you're singing about. Huh? You back up one chapter and you find out Messiah is prophesied to come into the world. And he said, that's what people are pressing into now. So that's why he said, so remember Sarah, he said that's why he said that. So he makes that reference, sing, O barren. So I hope that has helped you with what we were dealing with last night. So let's see if I can find my spot here. I don't know where I'm at, but I'm gonna find it here quick. I'm not where it's showing, that's for sure. Okay. We're going to start here. I know we went over these last night, but we'll go over them just a little bit again and cover this because it's so important and valuable for us to understand. Now, what I'm talking about this morning is going to be, it's going to just see what this is all about. Remember, we have an allegory. Sarah and Hagar have two children. One is Isaac, which is the seed of promise. The other, Hagar, is the seed of bondage. It genders to bondage also. So here in 4, Galatians 4, verse 28, Paul addresses the church at that time. And he says, now we brethren, notice that. Now we brethren, as Isaac was the children of promise, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him. Notice that. The one born after the flesh persecuted him. That's the story of Ishmael and the reason Abraham sent him out away. That he was born, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. So even so it is now. Now, here's what we want to understand. That what's happening here is we have the church, and we're going back to Acts. We're in Acts, and Christ has already died, was buried, rose again, and the early apostles are there, and the church is starting. Now, I'm going to show you history. What happened? What happened right at the beginning was not clearly understanding what was unfolding. That's why when Paul goes to the Galatians, he says, how is it that you're being troubled by this? And we're dealing with circumcision of the flesh. So what Paul has to do, he has to then turn around and explain to us what has been going on or what's happening. And he's explaining that to us. Here's where the church has missed it. We didn't see this. We just kind of went with whatever the church was doing at that time. And you say, well, how critical was it? Well, even to our time, from Acts to our time, it still held true. But it got more corrupt as it went. So this thing was because remember, what does Satan use when he's trying to tempt you? Everybody say scripture. I know that's hard for us to understand, but that's what he uses. But it's twisted. It's twisted scripture. So what do you think he's going to use to cause multitudes and multitudes to be deceived in the church? Scripture. Twisted scripture. That's exactly his ploy. That's what he'll use. Twisted scripture. He don't, because if he goes way out there, ain't nobody going to believe it. But you won't really die. He's twisting the scripture. Right? Go ahead and cast yourself down, for the Lord to give his angels charge concerning thee, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt, you want to show you scripture. What did Christ say to him? He says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God either. So let's get it all. You see? I can throw any scripture out and justify behavior if I pick it out. But if I go through the whole entire thing, I find out I can't do that. That's why it's important to understand the Scripture. Verse 30 says, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? What saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondswoman and her son. Let me see that. Cast out the bondswoman and her son, for the son of the bondswoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So if we're going to cast out, we got to go through this and find out, what are we subject to? Are we subject to the law, the letter of the law, or we're subject to the spirit of the law? One has to be cast out. What did the church do? They cast out the whole thing. The whole thing. We just cast, I tell you, the easy way, we just ain't going to do it. But we got grace. Grace is going to come and grace is going to teach us everything. That's a dangerous thing. Because when you have just grace, what scripture do you have that keeps you going down the straight path? Very difficult when there's nothing there. They got to guide us. We got to have direction. And there was no direction. So he says, verse 31, so then, brethren, again, I want to emphasize this, because he's speaking to Gentile believers and he calls them his brothers, and he's a Pharisaic Jew. Remember that. Let me tell you, if anybody questions Paul's genuine salvation and his dedication to the Lord, I don't know how you can. This brother was locked in. He was anointed with the Ruach HaKodesh. He knew, he said, and so he says, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondswoman, but of the free. So we understand that. So we got to, that's why I spent so much time dealing with the spirit of the law underneath Sarah and that of promise. That's why he said in Isaiah 54:1, sing. It's time to sing. Because once you get 53, it's time to sing. She's here it is. It's coming. That's the thing that's so wonderful about it. Verse number 1 of chapter 5, stand fast therefore in liberty. That word is what we're going to deal with today. We're going to deal with liberty today. Because liberty is something that the church has adopted. We have grace, we have liberty, but you got to be careful. Now watch what he says. Wherewith Messiah has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So it seems like to me, he's calling an Old Testament a yoke of bondage. Is he? Well, let me read it again. Stand fast, therefore, in liberty, wherewith Messiah had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What we're addressing here is these two covenants. He's calling one of them a yoke of bondage. What they encapsulate all in one thing. That's how we saw it. We didn't see the spirit of Torah. So we encapsulate it all in one thing. Verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Messiah shall profit you nothing. So am I talking about circumcision here or the law? Of course I am. And what does he say? Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I know that it seems like he's saying, let's get rid of that and take on this new thing. But hear me tell you what happens. You're tossing the baby out with the bathwater. That's what's happening because we don't see what he's saying here. That's what's happened over the years. So he said, if you be circumcised, if you get under this letter of the law, Christ, Mashiach, will profit you nothing. He just comes out and tells them, you're going to get no benefit from this. You're going to wind up in some serious trouble. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Not some of it, the whole thing. Once you follow in the letter, you got to keep it to every bit of it. You got to keep it because you're a debtor to the whole law. Now watch this, verse 4. Messiah is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, or what? Fallen from grace. There it is. That's the one. All I need is that verse right there, and I go on and say the tour is over with, because we are now under grace, and if you do it, you're falling from grace, and therefore you can't be saved. Is that what Paul's saying? See, that's the thing. Is that what he's saying? Well, we'll go on. Verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Remember, through the Spirit we're waiting for this hope of righteousness by faith. Verse 6. For in Yeshua Messiah neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now, if anybody asks you what Galatians is about, you can go to this verse, quote that one verse right there, and basically sum up the entirety of Galatians if you want a scripture of what Galatians is about. For in Yeshua Messiah, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Here's where he brings you back so you don't get lost. Because we're getting lost here for a while in some of these verses. So say one's over in the other. But he says, neither. How many see that? Do you pick that up? He said, neither circumcision, law, or uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Notice that. Now, let me tell you, the whole Torah is a book of love. That's what it is. If you see it in the spirit of Torah, you're going to pull that out of it. But if you don't, you'll see that it's bondage. Well, we'll go on. Verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? So he tells them, he said, you started out fine. You did run well. Church is growing. Everything's going good. Who hindered you that you wouldn't obey the truth? So he's trying to explain this. Now, this is early on. This is Galatians, mind you. We're talking about Acts 15, 16, 17. All of that, the church is going, it started, and now they're having this trouble already. What chance do we have in 2018? Are we still up against it? Well, we are. But I believe that the Lord is tired of all of this stuff happening, and he's going to unfold himself. He's going to reveal what's been happening. Verse 8, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Remember that. This persuasion comes not of the one that calls you. Verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. How many see that? Verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Master that ye will be none otherwise minded. Don't get your mind on that part right there. He said, none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment whomsoever he be. So I want you to understand, the one that troubles you, this is what he's saying, he's going to bear his own burden. He's going to bear that judgment. And so I want you to notice that here, Paul is saying that they come and tell you this. They're saying, now that you're saved, we want you to quickly come back into the law and do the sacrifices and all sorts of things. Number one, you have to be circumcised. He said, but he that troubles you shall bear his own his judgment whomsoever he shall be. Now, I want to look at Acts 15, 24 for just a second and show you something. It says, for as much as we have heard that certain went out from us. Now, I want you to notice, this is what he's referring to. And that's why I spent so much time in Acts. Why we spent so much time in the early part of this. The early part of this, we spent a lot of time in Acts. This is why. He says, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from you have troubled you with words subverting your souls. Notice that. Saying, this is what they said, you must be circumcised and keep the law. To whom we gave no such command. He said, I don't understand. Now, and that's why he's coming to him. He said, we didn't tell him to say that. They just took it on their own that here all of a sudden we're going to, you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. How many see that? In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10 says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium. That's what I was studying at the beginning of this series in the book of Acts. At Lystra, what persecution I endured. But out of them all, the Master delivered me. Out of them all. Now watch this. Very important. Yea, that all that will live piously in Messiah Yeshua shall suffer persecution. So we're gonna have persecution. It's going to come. But he's saying, listen, this is what's going to happen. When you live for the Lord and you're doing the right thing, you're going to come underneath scrutiny. That's what's going to happen. But if you don't want scrutiny, if you don't, you just want to have kind of anything goes, you can. That's no problem. And what happens, you'll see that unfold, and it'll minister to your life. Now, in Galatians 5, verse 11, it says this, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision," very important, if I yet preach circumcision, "why do I yet suffer persecution?" Notice what he says. He said, if it was me and I'm preaching circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Why is it I'm being persecuted if I'm preaching circumcision? Very important. Then, is the offense of the stake ceased or the cross ceased? He said, if I preach persecution, he said, then it is... Y'all see? Okay. So he said, then is the offense of the stake ceased or the cross ceased? Now watch verse 12. This is one of the spots where I wanted to catch this so we could see it. "For I would that they were even cut off." Cut off. Understand that. "Which troubled you." Now that word right there, cut off, some translations translate this castrate. So that's a serious word. That's serious. He says, "I would that they were even castrated, which trouble you." If they want to talk about circumcision of the flesh, Paul said, forget the flesh. Cut it off. That'll make you think twice about preaching that, won't it? The guys are going, uh-huh. So, I mean, that's what he says. He says, "I would that they were even cut off." That ain't put out the house that he's talking about. That ain't you ain't invited to my party, cut off. He said, "I would that they would be castrated." What? This is Paul's words. Now to you, this means a whole lot now, don't it? Every guy in here is going, "Man, where that's found out?" I remember that one. He said, "I wish that you were cut off." Well, let me tell you, this is valuable that we understand this, because these words, whoa. I don't know what I got, Phil. You're going to have to come and... I'm just going to... I don't know what it is. You mean... Son. All right. Maybe we got something. I don't know. Anyway, new technology. I'd rather just stay with what I got. Let me get back to this cut off. I said cut off, and the thing cut off. He said, "I would that you that that I would they were even cut off, which troubled you. Also, it says in Matthew, it says, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. That's the same word. Think about it. He said, cut it off, because it'd be better for you to go in maimed than to keep it and lose out in the kingdom. Now, this is serious business. Now, watch this. Verse 13, for brethren, notice he keeps that term. Keep saying it. Ye have been called unto liberty. Unto liberty. That is very important, and I want you to see that. Valuable. I'm not sure what this is. All right. I'm going to get this soon. You have been called unto liberty. How many see that? Liberty, that's very important, because that's what I'm going to talk about today. Liberty, you've been called into liberty. Now watch the anchor statement. How many ready for this? This is the anchor statement. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That's the entirety of the law. What's the entire? He said, if you want to sum the law up, love thy neighbor as thyself. So, for brethren, ye have been called into liberty. So, Paul's not saying you're not called into liberty. He's not saying that at all. You have been called into liberty. He's not questioning that. That's not a question. And that's what he wants us to understand. These are valuable and important principles for us to grab hold to. You have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now I want you to look at the verse 1 of 5. Now this is the next part, verse 1 of 5. Stand fast. Remember at the beginning? Therefore, in the liberty. Very important. In the liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not. Notice that. So he says, stand fast therefore in liberty wherewith Messiah had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. They're virtually saying the same thing. And he wants us to get that. So sometimes you're reading and you come across a verse, you back up, you try to find where else has he said this? Where else has he made this statement? But he says, he's not saying don't get into liberty. But he says you got to be careful that you don't go too far in the liberty. I mean, is this helping anybody? I hope sometime I feel like I'm studying it and I get it. And I'm studying and I get it. But it's hard for me to describe it to you. But I'm trying my best to break this down so you get it and understand what I'm saying. Because this is important, valuable. Look at 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2, verse 15. I mean, there. Okay, listen what he says. Now, I want you to, there's some things I'll be talking about here. I'm going to talk about Peter. We've been talking about Paul and James. These are three that are very important to look at when we're dealing with this. He says, for so it is the will of Elohim that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. What are we trying to do? Put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And that's happening all over. As free, notice that, as free, not using your liberty, as free, because how many believe that Paul preaches and teaches we're free? As under liberty, but don't use it as occasion to the flesh. That's an anchor statement, because he knows somebody's going to twist my words. So I'm going to say, don't use it as an occasion to the flesh. It's not like we got grace now. We can do whatever we really want. Well, let me tell you, that's been bought and paid for in the church today. You can do whatever you want. And just go back, you know, go do whatever you want on Saturday and just go to God on Sunday and everything's cool. God is cool. Where you ever heard God is cool at? He's the creator of everything. He demands a certain respect and honor and praise. The glory, I said, I'll not give to another. He's not cool. He's not trying to hang out with us and be our best friend. He's going to show us the right way to live in order that we can make it. That's what he wants. And he done that, and he gives his only son, begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but as free. Notice that, as free and not using liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servant of Elohim. So he see, Peter's saying, as free, but don't use liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Notice that. So if I say as free, what does he mean there? He's talking about liberty. Because he brings up, he says, not using your liberty. We're free, but we can't use liberty as a cloak for maliciousness. How many see that? Now, I want to point out something to you. This right here, I'm going to take my time here because I really want you to get this. And I don't want to misrepresent or say anything that offend anybody in any way. But how many know who Charles Stanley is? Let me see your hand if you know who Charles Stanley is. A reputable man. He's been preaching the gospel for a number of years. He's kind of retired, his son, Andy Stanley. How many's ever heard of Andy Stanley? Anybody? Andy Stanley. His son's now speaking at the church in North Point Community Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. This is April 29, 2018. This just happened. This is why I'm doing this study and all of this happened. And he preached a message, and Michael Grabowski, Christian Post reporter, May 9, 2018, published this report. He did at his church. The title of his message was Aftermath. Aftermath. And this is one of the statements that he made right up front. I want everybody to see it. He said, Christians must unhitch Old Testament from their faith. Okay? So, again, I'm not saying this. I'm not going to use this as a platform to come and belittle anybody. It's just somebody's a minister. He's preaching the gospel. I'm just showing you what's out there because it's important that we understand why Paul said what he said. Why did he do what he is doing? Because if it's out there now, you know, you think about all those years, it's no wonder the church is winding up where it's at. Well, let's go on through it. I'm going to give some of the quotes here, okay? I want you to see this. North Point Community Church Senior Pastor Andy Stanley has stated that Christians need to unhitch the Old Testament from their faith. Unhitch. What it means when you unhitch something? You get your boat, you pick it up, you come back, you unhitch from it, and you pull your car away. Is the boat still with you? How many get where I'm going with this? You unhitch from the Old Testament, is it still with you? No, you unhitch from it. In the final part of his recent sermon series, Stanley explained that while he believed the Old Testament is divinely inspired, it should not be the go-to source regarding any behavior in the church. You know, about right now, I got out my seat. I walked away from my computer and I went, okay, now, are you serious? I don't know about you, but it put chill bumps all over me because thousands of people listen to this. Thousands of people listen to this. I'm going to read it again. He said, While I believe the Old Testament is divinely inspired, it should not be the go-to source regarding any behavior in the church. It gets better. To justify this, Stanley preached last month about Acts 15, which describes how the early church decided that Gentile converts did not need to strictly observe Jewish law to become Christians. He didn't understand it when he read it, I can tell you. Because I preached Acts 15 when we started this series. First century church leaders unhitched the church from the worldview, value system, and regulations of Jewish scripture, says Stanley. Unhitched. Peter, this is his words, Peter, James, Paul elected to unhitch the Christian faith from their Jewish scripture, and my friends, we must as well. Are y'all here today? Thousands. Listen to this stuff. Peter, James, and Paul elected to unhitch Christian faith from their Jewish scripture? I'm just bewildered by this because I'm trying to figure out when they said, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. What were they talking about? You understand? I'm trying to get this because I'm missing this. Now, this is not dumb people. This is a bright minister. And I don't know how you come to this conclusion. Other than the fact that the spirit of Antichrist is in the church and it speaks behind the pulpits every Sunday. Let me go on. Stanley argues that it had to be done for the same reason the church in Acts 15 did so, which was so that we must not make it difficult for those Gentiles who are turning to God. We don't want to make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Wait. For Stanley, the difficulty lays with the Old Testament and his concern that many Christians are turning away from the faith because of certain passages in the Hebrew Bible. Stanley argues that early church shows that there was a need to move past the Old Testament for the sake of Gentile believers and that the resurrection of Jesus was enough. All we got to do is have the resurrection of Jesus. Then he states, Jesus, new covenant, his covenant with nations, his covenant with you, his covenant with us, can stand on its own two nail-scarred resurrected feet. It does not need propping up by Jewish scripture, noted Stanley. I'm telling you, it gets worse. Can't get worse. It gets worse. The Bible did not create Christianity. The resurrection of Jesus created and launched Christianity. Maybe I need to go back and just... The Bible didn't create Christianity. The resurrection of Jesus created and launched Christianity. Your whole house of Old Testament cards can come tumbling down. The question is, did Jesus raise from the dead? And the eyewitnesses said, he did. And so Stanley acknowledges that his commitment may be considered a little disturbing. A little? To some, but added that for many it is, what? Liberating. I didn't make this up. I didn't make this up. What am I talking about? Liberty. Liberty, freedom. He said, it's liberating. It's liberating. I'm so glad. I'm so liberated to be. I'm not underneath that mean, vicious, vile God of the Old Testament who will kill you if you sin. I'm underneath the new resurrected Savior who no matter what you do, he loves you. Somebody needs to study the words of Jesus again and find out that they're wrong. Because he didn't say that. He didn't say no matter what you do. Some people getting confused that though your sins be as scarlet. They get confused about that. There's some things that he believed and he taught that we could understand. This thing. It is liberating for men and women who are drawn to the simple message that God loves you so much, he sent his son to pave the way to a relationship with you, said Stanley. Now notice his whole demeanor. Now watch this next one. It is liberating for people who need and understand grace, who need and understand forgiveness. It is liberating for people who find it virtually impossible to embrace the dynamics, the worldview, and the value system depicted in the story of ancient Israel. We just want them to go away. Go away. While noting that he believed the church needed to unhitch itself from Old Testament, Stanley still regarded the Jewish scripture as having importance, saying that they were a means to an extraordinary end. Think about it. A means to extraordinary end? Are you kidding me? Wow. I didn't make this up, by the way. I gave you the date and everything for you to find there. So I don't know what I got to do here, Phil, but every time I hit it, it doesn't work. So go to James chapter 1. Let's see what he says. Now, I know this is taking a little time to do, but I wanted to point that out to you. How many get where I'm going with this? How many see the problem we're up against? How many know that there's thousands and thousands of people follow Andy Stanley and the words he says means a lot? I don't know how you get up and say that kind of stuff, but it was said. There it was. James, let's go to James, because he said James, Peter, and Paul. I gave you what Paul said already, and Paul, to me, without a doubt, proved him wrong. I gave you what Peter said. Peter says, I know you want to talk about freedom, being free, but don't use that liberty as a cloak for maliciousness. So let's see what James says. James chapter 1, verse 22 said, but be ye doers of the word. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Notice that. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, because you do what to yourself? You deceive yourself. Very important that we understand that. Valuable. Romans 2, verse 13 says, for not the hearer of the law are justified before Elohim. What? The hearers of the law are justified before Elohim. But the doers of the law shall be justified. So what I would like to do is I would like to find out here, in this particular portion, how many see that? What is that word? What is that? If you be a doer of the word, this portion right here, what is that? That's the stuff you're unhitching from. That's what you unhitch from. And when you unhitch from it and you go down the road, you don't have it with you no more. You can be told you got it all along, but you unhitch, you going down the road, you're free from it. You could drive different. How many of you know you drive different when you don't have something hitched to you? You can go faster. You can make quicker turns. That's what happens when you unhitch the Old Testament from your belief system. You'll go faster. You'll make quicker turns. But I can tell you, you're going to set yourself up for failure. Because you can't get rid of this. It's very important that we understand that and grab hold to that. That we see it for what it's done. So that's why he said in Romans 2:13, for not the hearer of the law are justified. Not the hearer only, but what? The doer of the law is justified. I'd like to know that this is Romans. This is to a Gentile group of people whom Paul never been there, but he wrote this letter and he says, listen, for not the hearers of the law justified in Elohim, but the doers of the law shall be justified. They understood it, what he was saying. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. I'm finishing James. Back in James. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Why? Because you're unhitched. You're unhitched from the word. You do what? Go your way and you forgot what manner of person you are. Now watch this, verse 25. But whoso looketh. Thank you, James. Unto the perfect law of liberty. He that looks into the perfect law of liberty. So important. The perfect law of liberty. And continues therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a what? A doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. Now, how many believe that Paul, Peter, and James preached unhitched from the law? You believe that that's what they taught? Just unhitched from it? It's time to move on. We're under the grace. I don't believe they did. And if I'm just reading it to you today, but I'm pretty sure you knew already, too, that they didn't talk about that. If anything, what is he saying? Be a doer of the law. Be doers of the law. Be doers. He said, but whosoever looketh to the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Amen? How many see that? This is so important. It's valuable for us to understand. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28, and we'll see what is said here, because when James is speaking, he is speaking pertaining to some of these things. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. What does he set before? A blessing and a curse. He said a blessing if you obey. The what? The commandment. Remember that. The commandment. You got to obey the commandment of Yahweh Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the what? Commandment of Yahweh Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I've commanded you this day to go after other mighty ones. And that's what it leads you to, because you're going to go after other mighty ones which you have not known. How many see that? So James 2, let's go back to James. James chapter 2, verse 8. It says, If ye fulfill the royal law. Now I want to talk about that, because that's important. The royal law. How many see that? The royal law. Look at what he calls it. The royal law. According to Scripture. If ye fulfill the royal law. According to Scripture. How many know what the royal law is? What is that? The law of what? The law of liberty. Remember that. We'll show you. Let me show you. According to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons to commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Now I want you to notice, What does he say? He's going back and forth. So James says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. He's quoting what? Torah. It's a quote. But if you have respect of person, what is he quoting there? Torah again. You commit sin. So he's telling you, as he's explaining himself about the royal law, he's going back and forth. He's staying hitched up. He's staying hitched up, and he's going. He's under the grace and the lordship of Messiah Yeshua. By grace are you saved through faith. Then he has to look back to gather his information. He's going back and forth. Everywhere he goes, he's pulling it with him because he knows, I got to stay connected. So he keeps going back and forth. Look, and so I want you to understand that valuable principle. Verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offends in one point, he is guilty of all. Let me see that. Keeps the whole law, but is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery. Notice James, what he's saying. He's just, what is he doing? He's giving a command. He's going back and forth, back and forth. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. He's saying the same thing. Now, if thou shalt commit no adultery, yet if thou shalt kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. It don't matter which one it is. It is. Watch this, verse 12. So speak ye, and so do, as they that judge you, that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Notice that, the law of liberty. So this is important. I want to put them. I want you to understand. Hold up. He said that the law of liberty, and what he said at the beginning, he's talking about this royal law. It's meaning the same thing. He said, "So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." So one is the letter of the law. The other is the same law, but it's the spirit of the law. Same law. Stay hitched to it. What the New Testament done for us is it commentaried and told us what God's expectation was for the church now to be doing when he returns. Looking back and understanding that this is forever with me. The promise has been made to Abraham. So what did we say to Abraham? Unhitch him and let him go and drive off in the distance of the new Christian world? What about Abraham? What about Isaac and Jacob? What about these guys? Think about that. Are they going to be in the kingdom? It's craziness. So what he says here goes back to Galatians 5. For brethren, we have been called unto liberty. How many see that? Anchor statement. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Very important. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Very important. So I hope that you see this. Verse 6, 1 of chapter 6. Real quick, I'm going to go there, but I'm not finished with 5, but we're going to come back. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest also thou be tempted. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Messiah. How many see that? The law of Messiah. That's the only time you'll see it. The law of Messiah. And this is what folks will say. They'll say, well, Pastor, are you following the Torah or whatever? And you might say, well, yes. They say, well, I'm underneath the law of Messiah, the law of Christ. That's where they get that from. It's the only time it's mentioned. Bear ye one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Messiah. How many see that? The law of Messiah. Like there's two different laws. I mean, that's just the way you take that. Without the rest of Scripture, right? It looks like he's fulfilled the law of Messiah to me. Messiah's got a law. Moses has got a law. I'm under Messiah's law. Well, we got to continue. I'm going to put them together. Galatians 5 and this 6:2. Okay? Bear ye one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Messiah. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. They're saying the same thing. They say the same thing. Bear ye one another's burden is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. What law? The law of Messiah. You want to call it the law of Messiah or the law of liberty? It's the same thing. They mean the same thing. But that one thing, that one time mentioned, they will take that one time and say, we're underneath the law of Christ. And that's why you run into these problems. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, it says this. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Think about that. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate. How many see that? Enter ye in at the straight gate. For broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. A lot of people are going in at the broad entry. But he says straight is the gate that leads to life. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Think about this. He says, few there be that find it. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. Verse 15, beware. Y'all see that? Beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. When he says beware of false prophets, you know, he's wanting us to pay attention, because a lot of people is going to say a lot of things, but does it line up with the Scripture? Is it what the Scripture's saying? It says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Think about that. We've been, I shared with Brother Josh a couple of people to take a look at, and it's absolutely amazing what's happening on around the country, just in America. Not to mention other places. It's crazy what's happened in other countries. But everybody's a prophet now. Everybody. It don't matter. You could be married 3-4 times, and the woman you're shacking up with now is not your wife, and you still can prophesy. That's the part that blows my mind. But if you think that's a bad thing, them guys ain't stupid. They're not stupid. You know what? Where ignorance, it lies in the people. If you got 200,000-300,000 followers, when you pop your Periscope up, you're going to keep doing it. Because acting crazy is what people want. They don't want sound doctrine. They don't want to come and sit down. And if you want to hear the Word, come sit down and we'll teach you the Word of God. They want fluff. They want somebody to tell me something. Tell me something. Well, I don't understand the person who's telling you. He's been wrong about everything. This one fella, I've been watching him. And he prophesied, he said, he comes on and he goes, "Ooh, praise the Lord. Hello, everybody." He got that prophet voice, you know. "Hello, everybody. Come on, come on. Come on, come on." He's waiting because he's got Periscope up. And, you know, you can see him as they're coming on. They're coming on, just flooding it. And little things pop up, little hearts and likes and all that stuff. And he says, "I want to tell you the Lord, if this don't happen, I ain't a prophet of God." Well, anyway, he prophesied. He prophesied about the election that passed. And so I'm like, First, he was prophesying about Jay-Z, the Kardashians. I'm like, God don't care about no Jay-Z or no Kardashians when it comes to thus said the Lord. Whether they was going to get, I don't know, crazy stuff. Anyway, I knew right then and there, beware. Beware of false prophets. Well, anyway, he goes on. He says, the Lord told me you got to watch Rubio. He's going to make a strong push. And Rubio's the man to watch. The next day, Rubio jumped out the race. Yeah, we watching Rubio. He was going to, why? Why? He come back on. Well, I didn't say he was going to win. Really? You made it sound like he was the man. But Trump won't win. This is the prophet of God. This is the one hearing from the Lord. The Lord told me Trump won't win. It's just, and he goes on and tells how much he don't like him, whatever. Then the man wins. So he comes back on. He comes on, he hits his periscope. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Come on, come on. Ha! He'd do like that. It'll get something to hit him, I guess. I don't know if he got his foot stomped on or whatever. Ha! He's doing this during periscope. And then he goes, you know, sometimes you can miss it. I mean, once Trump wins and he's the president of the United States, the next morning this dude was on. He said, well, I just want to let y'all know that I missed it. Really? How shocking. That's the kind of stuff that people are going after. He says, beware of false prophets. Now, if those guys get you, I can tell you, you need to be God. Because that's how crazy it is. But what I'm concerned about is the ones who says, unhitch. That's the ones that concern me more than anything. Unhitch from it. Let it go. You're under a new deal. James said it. Paul said it. And Peter said it. And when I read what those three guys said, I don't see that at all. I don't see them unhitching. All I hear them say, it is written, it is written, it is written. Scripture says, what say it? The scripture, what say it? That's all I hear them say. I don't know how you can convince anybody to unhitch when these guys, all their life, their whole life was committed to making sure that you understood what the Tanakh said. I just don't get that. I really don't. It just blows my mind. So there's all kind of craziness out there that we need to be careful of. Verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. So when you find out, you're looking at somebody, well, how do I know if he's not a prophet? You look at the fruit. Nothing's happening that he said. There you go. Now, that's an easy one, ain't it? Easy. He done been, the one guy, he's done been on three different ladies. Three different ladies he posts pictures with. And now they cry, well, which one's your wife? Turns out none of them are. Now I'm going to listen to that. People by the thousands clicking. Oh! The Lord, nope, I ain't going to lie on the Lord. That's one of his openers. I almost lied on the Lord. Not everybody, but a thousand need to send me 777, and so that's what he, so everybody, 1,000 people had to send him $70.77, okay? Then he said, oh, wait, 10 of you is going to send $770, and so I was like, okay, what is this, guys? And that, you know what? When he turns that thing off, he just sitting there and it's going cha-ching, 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 and he's going, ah! Now, you're going to keep doing it because they keep sending it. Isn't that amazing? And listen, that's not the kind of stuff you hear in here. I'm trying to show you that this is your life here. This is your life. We're talking about your life. And it ought to matter. It matters to me. It matters to me about your life. Where are you going to spend eternity at? Are you going to make it? It matters to me. So I'm going to come here, I'm going to show you what the Word of God says, and you got to make your mind up. But listen, it says, you shall know them by the fruits they bear. Do men gather grapes of thorns? No. Or figs of thistles? No. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. That's what he said. A good tree cannot bring forth good evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. It's impossible. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Master, Master, Lord, Lord. Not everyone that says, and every one of them, every last one of them, which says, the Lord, in the name of Jesus. They're not like speaking about some crazy God. They're doing all this in the name of Jesus. All of it. The name of the Lord, the Holy Ghost. Ooh, the Holy Ghost, just come on. It all sounds like it's right. Not everyone that said unto me, Master, Master, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What's the will of the Father? I better be finding that out. Not everyone that says, so I can be up here and I can tell you in Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost, I can come up with all the fluff there is. But the fact is, if I'm not doing the will of the Father, I'm not going to get there. Because he just said the qualifications, but he that doth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, that's how you get there. What's the will of the Father? Many will say to me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied? Did we not prophesy? Well, sure you prophesied. There are many prophets in those days. Many prophesied. I tell you what, this is going to be an important part. This next part I'm going to get on is going to be valuable for us. Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? We did all these things. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. What sayings did Christ have? What sayings did he have? What did he do? He says, I tell you, you have heard it said. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you. Notice the sayings. Think about that. Everything we went over in Matthew 5. I'm telling you. So he said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, will I liken to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. That's what wise builders do. They make sure they stick it out. They hold on with everything they have. The very thing that the church is burying, he says, dig down deep and get it back. Unearth it. You got to dig down. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell not. For it was founded upon the rock. Think about that. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. No sand builders, just whatever it is, it is. What we want to do. We're just sand builders. Easy. I don't want to dig down into the Word of God. I don't want to dig down until I find what's solid, what's firm, what God said. I don't want to do that. I just want to be on the surface. I don't mind every now and then to talk about it because it's right here underneath me, but I'm unhitched from that stuff. He said, you're like a sand builder. The rains descend, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. It fell. Is that what our end result is going to be? It fell. And great was the fall of it. I'm going to just tell you, let it be said here today, that all the sand builders, all those who unhitched from the Scripture, unhitched from it, all sand builders, it's going to fall, and it's going to be a great fall. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be terrible. And you might say, you know what, we're not a whole bunch, just a handful of people here. But I'm telling you that God is looking for somebody, just somebody, who will say, you know what, we got to get this thing right. It's got to matter to us. Does it matter to you? Your life. And so I want you to think about this. And it came to pass. Let me get a spot where I can stop. And it came to pass when Yeshua had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Think about that. This is what he did. They were astonished. What is this he's talking about? I want you to think about this. It seems to me that our level of energy when it comes to the things of God is being attacked. It really is. I think about this church, and I think about what's going to help others. What's going to help others is that you make it. That you make it. You here right now. I can't speak to anybody that's not here. I can speak to you. You're here. You make it. You count. And what you do in your life matters, not just for you. It's almost like the benefit you get out of it, it's just going to be a residual effect of the fact that you offered yourself as a sacrifice to him. That's what we said. He said, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That's what he said. When I think about that, I think about the Lord and his word. Let's start making it a point to get excited about serving God. I was sharing with Brother Josh, just sharing my heart. I'm like, God, I don't know what's going on. It's like we barely get here, and then we're going, and then we're back again. We're barely getting here. Where's the excitement at? Think about it. Listen, if you don't believe the things that I'm saying, then go look it up for yourself and say, you know what, Pastor, I don't know. That don't seem right. Then come tell me. But if it's this the divine word of God, if what I'm telling you is a fact, then let's get after it. Because that's the greatest testimony we have. The greatest light that we have is our excitement for the truth. If you want people to get it, you got to get it. If you want people to really shout hallelujah, we're singing this song. No, my hallelujah is his. Nobody gets that. Nobody gets that praise. It ought to mean something to you. And I mean, not everybody's going to get it. You ain't going to be able to explain it to everybody. But I can tell you, don't be frustrated that you can't get everybody to get it. What you need to understand is what you do. And what your life you live, it says volumes about what you stand for. And you got to get excited. I mean, get excited. Push through the nonsense that's there. And say, I'm gonna serve God. I'm serving God. Well, it's going to be hard to get started because you say, well, what if this one don't? It don't matter what anybody else is doing. What matters is what you do. And can you imagine once one of you starting and the other one starting, the other one start? We got to get, you know what? We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to give him praise and glory and honor. We're going to thank him for his wonders and all of the glory that he's given us. But when you think about what he said here, he said there are many, many going to do this. But it's up to you. A wise man, he digs deep. He finds this text. He goes back to the scripture, because that's what the church did, the early church. They just got buried it up. Just unhitched from it. Just buried it up. It's okay. We're good. Look what everybody else is doing. And what happened? The church started growing. It grew and it grew fast and it grew. But when it grew, it had all these attachments. It had pagan systems, ideas, theologies, all attached to it. And it kept growing and 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 kept growing to where it is now. We're up against it. You're a small voice up against a, and it seems like, God, this is so big. I don't know how in the world you're ever going to make any difference here. It's so big. It's so massive. It seems like, what's the point in it? How can anything change? Well, Goliath seemed to be more than they can handle. This is a giant. There's nothing we can do. There was not one in all of Saul's army, not a one in all of his army who was willing to go out and stand up for the truth. He defied the armies of the living God, and he said, you're nothing. And they started believing that. They started buying into that system. They started to succumb to fear, and fear began to grip their life. And they just stood there. They stood and watched as the enemy stood up. Every day he would come out and he would curse God and he would defy the armies of the living God. Not one. Not this mighty man Saul. Not him. Nobody went out to meet this challenge. And then here comes David. He goes out just to bring some stuff to his brothers. Check on them. See how they're doing. And while he was there, one of those times, here comes this enemy again. And he's like, what's going on? What's going on here? What's happening? You got to understand, David was just a young boy. And he had already spent time in the field. And he already said, my hallelujah belongs to you. He said that over and over and over again. The bear come, he said, my hallelujah belongs to you. The lion comes, my hallelujah belongs to you. So he had experience. He wasn't coming because he'd been playing. He wasn't coming. Let me tell you something. There's no time for us to be playing here. There's no time. I'm going because mama's going, daddy's going. I'm going because I want to go. I can't understand about our youth. Man, David was a young man who had an intimacy with God that you can't hardly explain in today's society. And that giant come out and he said, what's this? Well, that's Goliath. Well, who is that? He said, well, that's the one who defies the army of the living God. He does what? And he looks and he sees the fear on everybody. That's what the enemy wants. He wants to put fear on everybody. And he says, well, why don't somebody go out there and get him? Hush, David. What are you talking about? Quiet. We're just standing here. We're praying that he never don't attack us. Because we don't have an answer for this problem. We don't have no solution for this problem. David said, well, I have a solution. My hallelujah belongs to Yahweh. I got a solution here. Who I need to talk to? And they bring him to the king. King Saul. He says, son, we're glad for your enthusiasm and everything. We're glad that you're all enthused, but you got to understand, this guy has been in battle from his youth. He's been doing what he's been doing since he's been a little boy. You are only a youth. But they had no idea that David might have been somebody small and young, but in the spirit, he was a giant of himself. Because he had already encountered the master over and over and over and over and over again. So he said, I don't understand how you're going to sit around and let somebody like this defy the armies of the living God. It don't make sense to me. Well, he's not speaking that from his experience, from being small, but he's speaking that from an experience. He experienced this because of the intimacy he had with the Father day after day after day after day after day after day. And so they give him some armory to put on, and he says, this ain't going to work. He looks silly in it. So he went out just like he always did. Nothing holding him back, no extra weight on him, just like he always did. He went out. And he said, I come against you in the name of the one that you defied, the one that you've been cursing. That's who I'm standing here for. Think about that. Goliath said, who is this dog that y'all sent out to me? He said, this is nothing. I'll take him, I'll feed him to the fowl of the air. But David kept focused. He just kept his eyes on him. He kept watching. And I'm going to tell you, if we'll focus, if you and I'll focus, if we'll say, it's time, now it's time. If there's ever been a time, it's time right now that you say, we got to have to make a push, make and press into this. Press into this. It may look like you're losing. It might look like we don't have a lot of people, but you press into it and you watch God. It seems like everybody that's prophesying wrong is doing great. But you come here and you preach in the gospel and the word of God and you explain to them that the gospel is what it said, and it's like you cannot get it anywhere. Now, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I'm not sure how much of this latter part of this story is for you or me. But I'm going to receive it for myself. And David, he just stepped out there. And he let him know, you have come and you defied the armies of the living God, but this day, today, you're going to go down. Today it's going to happen for you. You've been coming out every day, and nobody's been challenging you. Nobody's been saying anything. Everybody's been sitting back and just shaking in their arm. But this day, I'm going to take you down. Well, that was insulting. It was so insulting. Now, here's a shepherd boy. He got this little slingshot in his hand. He got 5 stones. And I got all his armory on. I'm a giant. And he's going to kill me. Yeah. It doesn't even make sense. But you have to understand that behind the scene, behind that scene, David said, I remember. Then he started to tell. I remember there was a time when a bear came. And I defeated the bear. And the lion come. And I defeated the lion. And today, I'm going to defeat you. Today, I'm going to defeat you. And when that giant stood up and came at him, he took that sling and he let the stone go. I just want you to know that what must have went through the minds of the Philistine army when their champion, their go-to guy, the number one. All of a sudden, he just freezes and falls flat. What you think they thought? Let me just tell you, listen to me careful. The go-to guys and the number ones about to come down. And that whole system is going to get in a panic. What the church needs to be ready to do. I'm talking about the church that's in love with God, that's committed their life to the Lord, that's not unhitching from the Torah. Don't unhitch from it. Stay hooked up. I know it seems like you're the crazy one. You're the crazy one. That's okay. I'm sure you've been called way worse than that. You stay hooked up. You look crazy if you want. But it looked like David was the crazy one. This little silly boy, man, I'm going to eat him up so fast it won't even be funny. And all of a sudden, boom. And then he walks over and takes the head off. Ain't no coming back from there. You know, you might have had a headache and been dazed a little bit from the storm. But we ain't talking about dazing you. You know, you get your head cut off, you ain't coming back from that. So he was smart. He was, I'm out of daze. I knocked him out a little bit, but man, he might come back. So he took his head off and he brought it to the king. And then they knew something. And all of Israel shouted. They all shouted. They all knew victory had come. For all this time, the enemy defied us. Well, I want to tell you, get ready for the hand of God to do mighty things. But say to the Lord, it's time for me to press in. It's time for me to run to it. Because remember what it said last night when I said this last night? He said they press into it. They press into it. That's what happens when you begin to understand the scripture and what is said to you. Isaiah 53, once it's spoken, it makes you want to sing, O barren. Oh, we better sing because now we got the promise. There he is. The promise comes. And so what happens? We run and we press into it. And so sometimes you feel like you're running by yourself and you can't go no more. But God's there for you. Amen? Well, this is a good spot for us to stop. We'll catch back up with this later. Next part I'm going to be doing, you definitely want to be here. I'm going to be talking about the prophet and those who prophesy and those who we're going to be talking about walking in the Spirit. He gets right on that here soon. He's going to be talking about walking in the Spirit. So we're going to stop right here. I think this will help us. Okay?